bring him up.
Here we go. History in the making.
Green, green, green.
Chase Elliott saves the Bubble Boys, and Daniel Suarez and Trackhouse say adios. Hi, this is Brett McMillan, and you're listening to the Pit Reporters. Women this week, Doug Turnbull of PRN and Five to Go Podcast, and Shane Connick from the Charlotte Observer.
Welcome to the Pit Reporters on the Performance Racing Network. And now, here's your host, Brett McMillan.
Boy, we got a lot to shoehorn into the next hour. Glad to have Doug and Shane here. And Doug, we're going to start off with you, man. You were up there in Turn 2 last weekend watching all the action. For my money, the best race this year. What a thriller at Atlanta, or excuse me, Echo Park Speedway.
Hey, it's still in Atlanta. I think we can all get away with saying Atlanta. It's when you call the track Atlanta that we have problems. No, but thank you, Brad. It was an honor, first off, to be on with you, Andrew Curlin, Heather DeBow, Mark Garrow, Brad Gilley, and then out in turn four there, Nick Yeoman. I thought and of course, everybody else, including Harold here, running the controls behind the scenes. That was an incredible race, and I agree with you that it was, I think, the best race of the year. After the Atlanta race in February, which ended under the weird caution light, and when did it come on and all of that stuff, we said on the Five to Go podcast, we thought Atlanta was the most exciting track on the schedule. And I'm biased. Maybe I'm from Atlanta, but I really believe it kind of mixes the things that we love about several elements right now into the same place. And Saturday's past race, especially, even Saturday compared to Friday's Xfinity race, was just the fact that drivers could keep digging and the outcome was always in doubt, and it wasn't totally random. I know the big crash that we had, the two big crashes we had kind of mid-race, really took out a lot of cars, but the fact that in the end you had the seven or eight drivers in the thick of it and they didn't have to wreck each other to make those moves, I thought was just outstanding. So much fun to call, so much fun to watch, and sure everybody here listening that did watch it felt the same.
All right, do you feel the same, Shane?
I do. Echo Park Speedway, we've seen it when it was called the Atlanta Motor Speedway. Every reconfiguration it's had has been leading to strong races throughout, but the Super Speedway style racing that we saw this past weekend, you have something new and a new concept to kick off this in-season challenge, a novel concept for the sport. You need to have not just a race on a Saturday night that'll bring some eyeballs on TNT, but you need to have a track that's going to bring the kind of action that we saw this past weekend, and we got it at Echo Park Speedway.
You know, I looked up after the big wreck, and I actually said on the air to the guys at the booth, I said, how many folks left in this race have a win this year? And because I'm looking down the line, and, you know, we've talked on this show the last couple of weeks about, you know, we've got 11 different winners now. How many more new winners are we going to have? We looked at the guys on the bubble, and in a Mark Garrow and Brad Gilley look at it and go, Kyle Larson and Shane Van Gisbergen. Because I'm looking down this thing going, Doug, we've got somebody's got a great opportunity to get their first win of the year here, because of the guys left running, only two of them had wins this year, and the odds that one of those guys are going to get a win were not very good.
It's incredible when you look at the top 10. It was, you know, Elliott Kozlowski, Bowman, Reddick, Jones, Stenhouse, Zane Smith, Ty Dillon, Buescher, and Hosovar. All right. And the only one that has a win this year is now Chase Elliott. So coming to the checkered flag, it was nobody. And I think I saw a stat. I want to say Racing Insights had, I think it was the only, there were only two drivers or something like that, that there was something where Chase Elliott, Tyler Reddick, I think it was the only two drivers that weren't involved in any kind of wreck and were in the top 10 in points or something. It was something along those lines. And I mean, look, you look at the results and you would think this is a totally random race and some freak thing happened to Chase Elliott stayed out or, the you know, 16 leaders wrecked or something like that. But these guys, especially Elliott Kozlowski, Bowman, and Reddick, were in the thick of this thing for most of this event. And that's why I think it gives legitimacy to it, when it would be easy for some people to look at the stat sheet, if you will, the box score, if we call it that, and write it off.
Well, that's what kind of appealed to me about this whole thing. It was just what shuffled the deck, you know, when you look at it, Shane, was the fact that, you know, near the end of the first stage, we had the weather caution, and then guys had to make decisions. I mean, Joey Logano had led every lap to that point, and now they're going, okay, do we stay out and go for stage points, or do we go ahead and, you know, pit now and flip, you know, stage two? And, you know, unfortunately for the guys that decided to come in, that ultimately cost them big time.
And I don't think it could be overstated, the impact of the in-season challenge, and I'm sure we'll get into it, but the impact that that has on the entire race when every driver is trying to win the race. They're trying to get stage points and rack up, putting themselves in the best position for their own race team. When that entire race team is going against one other race team for every lap of that race and every minute that you're preparing for that race, it adds so many variables to every second of the race and every decision that's being made.
Well, and think about this. And there's the thing that I'm really looking at. I mean, and this is what I talked about in the tease, Doug, is the fact that you've got Chase Elliott wins the race. Now, for all these guys sitting there around the bubble, you know, right now you still got Ryan Preece is the guy on the bubble. You know, Erik Jones is right there. And A.J. Allmendinger's right there. The guy that was going to have the least impact by winning the race, by winning his first race of the year, was Chase Elliott. Because he was going to make the playoffs anyway, most likely, if somebody made it on points.
Oh, no doubt. And look, if you're comparing who the people that were sitting in the garage or on their jets back home or whatever it was that were on the bubble in this thing were rooting to win, it had to be Elliott or Tyler Reddick. And I know Reddick has slipped a little bit lately, but he's fairly safe-ish. But, man, Alex Bowman wins. Zane Smith. Okay, this guy, you know, they announced the Big Aaron sponsorship. And he was in the thick of it, making some incredible moves there. And I know a lot of that is avoiding the wreck, but he didn't avoid the wreck and go ride 13th. He was up there digging. If Zane Smith wins at 25th or wherever he is in points, that would shake things up big time. Who else was up there in the mix of that was really making a lot of his up? Stenhouse, right? Stenhouse, who at one point got a free pass. All right, he got a free pass and then had a pit road penalty or had an extra pit stop and had to go from 20-something on that last run and shot out of nowhere, as we talked about on the air. Did those guys do it? It turns the tables completely upside down. Oh, and I just forgot a major one because I just think, oh, he's automatically a contender. Brad Keselowski from about 30th in points, who really probably should have won this race just given how much he took the lead and kept it. That there are a lot of guys that are just going ahead and rooting for driver number 9 that weren't all from Georgia.
Well, that's the thing. I mean, you talk about, you know, if Keselowski wins that race, he went there 30th in points. All of a sudden, that cut line moves big time. And think about the next couple of races we've got. Road course, you know, a street course followed by a road course followed by one mile long concrete track, Shane. I mean, you want to talk about something that's going to blow this whole thing upside down as far as the playoffs go, and the guys on the bubble, yeah, you want to have some impact? Let Keselowski win this thing from 30th, or Ty Dillon win this thing from 33rd.
And obviously, you think about the implications that has on the playoffs at this point in the season when you're going into... Still, Chase Elliott, Tyler Reddick, a lot of these drivers seem like they're among the stronger drivers in the series. Seems like they're going to be playoff contenders, but... We know how hard it is to win one race and the importance of winning that one race. The idea that drivers, all they need to do is win at one point in the year, and a lot of times that leads to, you don't even have to win at all to win the regular season championship. And so it feels like Chase Elliott getting the win is huge because it now, obviously, it pushes him up to second in points for the Cup Series, but it shows that the most popular driver in the sport who is capable of running strong races and putting points together and maximizing the performance of his Hendrick Motorsports teammates. The fact that now Chase is in victory lane at this point in the season with more action left, I think it leads we're going to be seeing even more winners over the next few weeks.
Well, I want to talk more about Chase Elliott winning this race because, A, it's huge just because he's the most popular driver. It's huge because he was in Georgia. But it also backs up a lot of what he's been saying lately about, yeah, I am committed, because fans have been accusing him of not really caring anymore. And I want to talk about that when we come back.
This is Michael Walter for Echo Park Automotive, and I'm here to tell you why you should shop Echo Park before you buy a car, truck, or SUV. Over half the inventory at Echo Park is priced below $25,000. And car for car, truck for truck, Echo Park Automotive's pricing is $3,000 less than the competition. Maybe that's why Echo Park has over 100,000 five-star reviews. Echo Park Automotive is built to make sure everyone drives away happy. It's even in their name, Echo Park Automotive. Every car, happy owner. The official used car dealer of Speedway Motorsports.
We work hard to keep our cars looking great on the outside, but engine components need our attention too. That's where you can trust Z-Max Micro Lubricant to disperse carbon buildup in your engine and fuel system to keep your car or truck running at its peak. By soaking into the metal of your engine, Z-Max Micro Lubricant improves performance, extends engine life, and reduces emissions. Trust the many customers who've said, "Thanks for saving my engine." Find out more at zmax.com or follow us on Facebook and Twitter.
Doug Rice is your host for Fast Talk every week on VRN, the Performance Racing Network.
Get your NASCAR fix with PRN's Garage Pass.
It's hard to just turn it around in 1 week, but I wouldn't be shocked if it hit.
I don't think the results have been what we have hoped for or expected, but I think the potential in the cars and the speed has been pretty good.
You know, it's a big deal already, so that's a, you know, big positive for us. So I think now it's just about working together and getting better.
I think the Penske cars are still elite when it comes to plate racing.
Hi, I'm Mark Garrow, tracking the latest racing news every weekday.
We all play a role in keeping our community safe.
Every day, we move in and out of each other's busy lives.
It's easy to take for granted all the little moments that make up our everyday.
Some are good,
others not so much.
But that's life.
It's when something doesn't seem quite right
that it's time to pay attention.
Because only you know what's not supposed to be in your everyday.
So protect your everyday.
If you see something suspicious, say something to local authorities.
Let's get back to more Pit Reporters on the Performance Racing Network.
Hey, sweepstakes fans, start your entries. Visit echopark.com/speedway to enter for your chance to win a Toyota Tundra plus a brand new Thor camper. Visit echopark.com/speedway now and you can drive off a winner. And we'll welcome you back along with Shane Connick from the Charlotte Observer and Doug Turnbull from PRN and the Five to Go podcast. I'm Brett McMillan. Glad to have you with us. All right, Shane, we're talking about it going into the break. You know, a lot of fans have been critical of Chase Elliott recently, you know, saying, look, he just doesn't care. He's out there just kind of riding along. Yeah, he's got some good finishes. But he had really recently spoken up and said, look, we do care. This team cares. We're getting better. We're more consistent, and we're going to show you we're getting close to getting wins. And he was able to get out there and back it up, and it was an emotional win because he had that paint scheme from the Children's Hospital and the young man that was there at the race Sunday, Saturday night, who had done the paint scheme, which was really kind of cool.
That was. And just talk about the hometown win for Chase Elliott. And again, this Chase Elliott's back. Anytime he is in contention, Hendrick Motorsports is in contention. What this does for Chase Elliott now, you start to go on later this season. Chase Elliott and the 9 are always in contention to be racking up more top 10 finishes and stuff down the stretch of the season. If the 9 wins at least one more race, even early in the playoffs, it feels like Hendrick Motorsports' efforts could really go in to that 9 car and to Chase Elliott's team. Obviously, William Byron is one of the strongest in the series week in, week out. Kyle Larson looks like that. But if you notice, both those drivers are able to get multiple wins every single year, and it's different tracks, it's different years where even Larson or Byron might seem like the top driver from Hendrick Motorsports. Chase Elliott, the most popular driver in the sport, always has the opportunity to be that, and maybe we could be starting to see the tides turn to when it becomes Chase Elliott's time in the sport.
Well, I think there was no doubt watching him in victory lane and celebrating this win, Doug. Chase Elliott cared. He cared big time last weekend.
100%. And I mean, that's not some giant hot take. Of course, even the most, even if Paul Menard had won, he would have cared. We got to see Paul Menard, who had no pulse, it seemed like, win a race, and he cared, okay?
Yeah.
You know, but it's just to go back a few years there for our newer racer fans. I think Chase Elliott is misunderstood, even by me, and I've known him since he was 13 years old, all right? Even when he was 13 years old, and I was interviewing him at Gresham Motorsports Park here in Georgia, he always was flatline as far as emotion, even as a crazy 13-year-old, right? So that's always been the personality, but it's not because they don't care about racing. He and drivers like that don't care. It's because that they have the personality that is not all effervescent, if you will, but they are laser focused on racing. And I think to stay focused, they eliminate what they would consider extra things. Now, I do think saying you've never watched the NASCAR Netflix series, or maybe he was joking or not when he said said a deadpan that he didn't even know about the in-season tournament. He told PRN one thing, like in the preseason shows or something, and then told the media another thing a couple of weeks ago. I think that's his way of checking out of all the extra stuff. Him being in the in-season tournament and caring about the Netflix show doesn't benefit the nine team. However, the reason people mix this up, I think anyway, with him not caring about the sport overall or not caring about the racecraft is because they see other drivers that care as much as him, like Denny Hamlin or Joey Logano or Ryan Blaney or whoever, that are all in on this stuff. And they sometimes even get better results. So they mix all of this together and they put causation and correlation and mix those up. I think that Chase Elliott's always been focused, and he has admitted that this race car, going all the way back to even when he won five races in 2022, hasn't been his cup of tea. So there's a little bit of the magic took away there, and I think he's still trying to figure it out. Maybe he started to figure the car out, breaks his leg 2 years ago. All right? It just – that all of that stuff builds on itself there. So I think that now this is a great momentum builder. But guess what? Atlanta is a unicorn kind of race. They go to the road course here this week in Chicago, and we'll see what happens there. And then if he doesn't win Chicago, half the fans will think he doesn't care again. Who knows?
Well, Doug brings up an interesting point, Shane, because, you know – up until this car, Chase Elliott was considered the guy at road courses. We have, as we talked about, a street course next week, a road course the week after that, and then in another month, another road course. So could this be a sign maybe that Chase Elliott's got his mojo back on road courses?
I think it does, especially like I'm talking about with how we get toward the playoffs. We're getting into not even just this in-season challenge right now, but it is a time wins are becoming more and more important, and it's going to be the better drivers in the series who are going to be earning them. And when you have the 9 team in contention now locked into the playoffs with the momentum that it has going, when Chase Elliott won it at Texas a year ago, that was, you know, earlier relatively in the season, and it was a huge popular win for the sport, and it gets Chase Elliott into the playoffs, but you expect Chase Elliott to be in the playoffs. With him locked into the playoffs now, I don't think anyone thought Chase Elliott wasn't going to make the playoffs this year. Now this sets it up that he has momentum going back to road courses where he has been strong. It's not like, again, William Byron's earned wins a coda on road courses, and he's a strong driver in anything he does. If you can get the 9 team to the top, it feels like not only will Chase Elliott be at the top of HMS, but he will be at the top of the NASCAR Cup Series.
All right. Well, what do you think? Is his mojo back at road courses, or do we have to wait to see, Doug?
It's tough to tell. I don't know that he lost his mojo as much. It's just whatever Hendrick Motorsports had in the secret sauce in that 2021 and before race car, I think that the Gen 7 car made everybody's race car more adaptable on road courses. And some of the things that he could do where other drivers might have erred several years ago, now they've been brought equal. All right. And then there's other strengths, not to mention you have Shane Van Gisbergen's that show up and win a Chicago road course in Mexico City a couple weeks ago. So I don't think he forgot how to drive a road course. And I'm not even sure he doesn't, quote, know how to drive it. I'm not saying he doesn't know how to drive, but you know what I mean? In this car, I just think that the new car brought people up to it. And remember, 2021, 2020, Hendrick Motorsports was out. They had that test track where they drove old race cars on it on their campus, right, before they built the 10-10th deal this year. And a lot of people thought that there were some things getting tested in the lab right there that might have benefited the 9 team and the others as well, because the 5 and the 24 and the 48 have all won on road courses. That, you know, since then, you know, maybe the gap is closed up a little bit, if you will.
All right, Shane, after what we saw at Atlanta, there's been a lot of talk this week that Atlanta may be the track producing the best racing on the circuit right now. You buying that?
I buy it. And I said this after this past year's initial second race of the year at what was then called Atlanta Motor Speedway. It feels like a track, I know we're going back to Homestead now, but a track that could host a championship race. I know that's happened before, but it feels like when you have such a strong super speedway style racing on a mile and a half track, 1.54 miles, that is exactly, in a market near a big major city in Atlanta. It feels like a potential perfect spot for the sport. And hey, the new name now, you know, there are so many stadiums and fields and other sports and arenas. The whole point is it has a sponsor. Maybe it's the beginning of another thing. And nonetheless, we know Echo Park Speedway has some of the best racing we see in this sport.
I don't think I even need to ask Doug. I think I already know the answer to the question.
Well, I would like it if it was part of the three-race rotation for a final round, if they made a change to the playoffs. I would hate for the championship race to be a one-race deal and be one that could have crashes to the length of Daytona or to the size of Daytona, Talladega, and Atlanta like that, especially in the close quarters at Atlanta. Dan Elliott, Bill Elliott's older brother, Chase's uncle, and Devin Kupka and I debate this on Five to Go, and they go all in on being the championship race. But I'm not going to cry about it if it happens too, but I would love there to be a championship round and have Atlanta or Echo Park Speedway be a part of it. That would be so much fun. And we get to call it a PRM, Brett. We would get to be even a bigger part of history. Come on.
Absolutely. I'm all in on it. Well, that's our Pit Reporter's question this week is who puts on the best racing right now? And your choices are Atlanta, Echo Park Speedway, Daytona, Kansas, or Talladega. What do you think? Last week we asked you, what was the best feel-good story coming from Pocono? And why am I not surprised? 55% said Dale Jr. winning as a crew chief. All you got to do is put Dale Jr.'s name out there. It's going to win the
Chase
ball.
Chase Briscoe, really?
Chase Briscoe got 28%, breaking through for Gibbs. And 16% got Lane Riggs for getting his win, finally, in the Truck Series. When we come back, change is afoot for Daniel's Amigos. We'll talk about that. Stay with us.
Let's talk about your health insurance. There are a lot of reasons why people need affordable health insurance. But here's the bottom line. You know you need affordable health insurance. For you, a spouse, a family member, whatever. I'm going to give you a free hotline to call to find affordable health insurance that can cover all your health insurance needs in case you get sick or have an emergency. Plus, cover vision, dental, and more. And there are no long-term commitments. You can keep your plan as long as it's affordable. And for the price of a cup of coffee. We're not talking about one of those fancy coffees. For the price of a regular cup of coffee a day, you can have quality, affordable health insurance. Call the health insurance hotline for a free quote.
800-275-7851. 800-275-7851. 800-275-7851. That's 800-275-7851.
Catch Kyle Petty's Back Then Again Country Countdown with Charlie and Debbie here on PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
Anytime you get somebody at the front of the pack who's not used to running up there and who's not been there, the established names are going to scream. They're going to cry. They're going to whine. Oh, there's somebody else coming up here to get my trophy and get my money. It's Carson Hocevar. What's he doing up here? He had just as much right to get in there and force the issue. And if not for the caution, he's a race winner.
Hey, this is Doug Rice of the Performance Racing Network. That's Fast Talk right here on PRN.
Local radio brings people together like never before.
It's a beautiful hometown weekend out there. We've got
your local stations keep you informed and involved with music, talk shows, and real-time news updates you can trust. We are live and local. We are America's broadcasters, connecting you to what matters most. Text radio to 52886 and tell Congress to support your local radio stations.
Message and data rates may apply. You may receive up to 4 messages a month, and you may text STOP to STOP.
This message furnished by the National Association of Broadcasters.
We're back with more of the Pit Reporters on the Performance Racing Network.
Hey, welcome back, along with Doug Turnbull from PRN and the Five to Go podcast, and Shane Connick from the Charlotte Observer, Brett McMillan. Glad to have you with us. All right, announced this week, not necessarily a surprise, but Daniel Suarez and Trackhouse have announced that they will go their separate ways after this season. They've said it was a mutual decision. Understanding this was a one-year deal that Daniel Suarez signed last offseason, and also understanding that Connor Zilich is in the pipeline for Trackhouse as well, and kids look pretty good in the Xfinity series, so he may be in line to move on up next year into the Cup Series, into that third seat. Doug, your thoughts about the Daniel Suarez split from Trackhouse?
I got to eat lunch with Suarez on an Atlanta media tour about a week and a half before the race or so, and spend time with him at the Echo Park Speedway open house back in January. Like, time that was, you know, fairly one-on-one in both situations, all right? And you just keep rooting for that story to figure itself out. A couple of wins to pop up, something, right? And another car, another big sponsor is not going to pop up because they're limited, Trackhouse Racing is, with the three charters. I just didn't see a way further forward except for maybe giving Connor Zillage and the number 88 Junior Motorsports Xfinity ride, who already has a couple of wins this year, and maybe giving him another year because he's only 19. You know, we've seen him make a couple of mistakes. We've also seen him lately really improve. Zillage has his racecraft. So when I saw the news this week, I saw it right after it dropped, I just thought, man, at least we finally know, instead of having to keep asking him, or in my case, just avoiding asking the question, knew he wasn't going to break the news to me. All right. But Daniel Suarez did say in an interview on Sirius XM this week that he's known for a while and he's glad it's finally in the open. He can finally exhale. And imagine carrying that secret around in Mexico when you were the star of the show, winning the Xfinity race, but now it could finally be in the open and you could really truly seek out a next ride. I don't know what that situation is. There was also, on the same day that this news came out, Jimmy Johnson said on his podcast that Legacy Motor Club really wants to expand to 13s. We know they've been in litigation with Rick Ware Racing trying to get a charter there. You know, could there be a fit with there in 2026 or 2027? I don't know, but certainly, Suarez, this isn't great news for him. And while they have mutually agreed to part ways, I do think it's weighted more on the Trackhouse parting ways.
Your thoughts?
Yeah. No, I love Daniel Suarez a lot at Trackhouse these past few years. A driver I got to know very early in my time covering the NASCAR Cup Series, and just a great guy, and brings so much awesome stuff to the sport. Talking about Atlanta last year, for him to be able to get a victory after a phenomenal three-wide finish at what was called Atlanta Motor Speedway, just a great personality in this sport, and hope the best for Daniel Suarez. And not to be, I don't think it should be understated what he did at Trackhouse these years. This Trackhouse has been really growing itself as a NASCAR Cup Series team, and Daniel has been a big part of that. He has gotten multiple wins for this team in that number 99 car, has been competitive, has worked well with Ross Chastain, has brought a lot of just that juice that Trackhouse Racing wants to bring to this sport. Daniel's been a huge part of that, and wish the best for him going forward.
Well, that's the thing. Go ahead, Doug.
Well, I just wanted to interject, too, that it's not just about there being a shiny new object, so to speak, on the horizon. It's the fact that Daniel Suarez has been in the Cup Series longer, technically, like in a full-time capacity, than his teammate Ross Chastain. And while Trackhouse as a whole has stepped back a little bit, Chastain came in there shot out of a cannon, all right, in 2022. Suarez joined the team in its infancy in 2021, and Chastain immediately became the number one driver, literally and figuratively. And Shane Van Gisbergen is brand new to oval racing, so you can't really compare him. But there is an A-B comparison in Suarez and Chastain, and I think that shows in both cases that they each need a fresh start.
Well, and here's the other thing. You know, people go, well, yeah, but look where Van Gisbergen is in the points. You know, he's way down in the points. Yeah, but Shane Van Gisbergen already has you a win. And I lay pretty good odds that in the next month he's going to have at least one more.
I can't disagree with you. I mean, but also there are so many good people that it's hard for me to guarantee anyone. But I will say Shane Van Gisbergen, out of all 36 full-time drivers, is the easiest one for me to guarantee a win anywhere, even over Kyle Larson on some oval. There are many more oval drivers to compare to than SVG compared to other drivers on road courses.
I mean, yeah, that's the thing. That's what got me, Shane, when he won in Mexico. People are going, this is like Harrison Burton winning last year. Look where he is at the point. We all knew when Shane Van Gisbergen signed that he was going to win on road courses. We all knew that. This is not a surprise, and you're not going to boot this guy out of a ride because he's doing exactly what you expected him to do, and he's improving on the ovals. That was going to take time.
And it comes to another thing about Trackhouse Racing and how it has built its NASCAR team, finding different drivers who have different talents who are going to be able to bring wins on different kinds of tracks. And that's something that when you have SVG, it started off with the Chicago Street Course and all that, But that's the idea, that you know this guy is one of the best in the world on road courses. He's coming into the NASCAR Cup Series, and now he has had that growth and development with Trackhouse Racing. Trackhouse is continuing to grow, again, with a young driver like Connor Zilich in its ranks right now, has been driving that 87 car, has made his Cup debut, has driven in the Xfinity Series, has won on different kinds of tracks and other forms of motorsports. Trackhouse Racing has done a lot of things and is doing a lot of things as NASCAR keeps innovating.
Oh, by the way, yeah, Connor Zilich, by the way, finished 11th in Atlanta at Echo Park Speedway last weekend. You know, the kid is not a slouch. You know, he's no. getting a few Cup starts, and he's done pretty well in the Xfinity Series so far this year. So, yeah, is he ready for prime time, so to speak? Arguable. Could he use another year in Xfinity? Arguable. We'll see. Time will tell. But when you got it under contract, and this, you know, maybe Dan doesn't want to sign another one-year contract. That, you know, that's all stuff going on behind the scenes, things we don't know. But it's interesting you bring up the point, Doug, of what's the option moving forward for Daniel. And there aren't a lot of options out there. There aren't a lot of seats open. I mean, you know, does, you know, Legacy Motor Club add another seat? And is that a possibility for a Daniel Suarez? But beyond that, there aren't a lot of options out there. And of course, this whole lawsuit going on now with 2311 in Front Row. Now you got charters that you don't know what's going to be with those.
Well, yeah, for sure. And I'm just, we're going to set for equal and just assume that everybody walks away half upset when it comes to the antitrust suit, and maybe they just all remain with charters and less money or something. I don't know, right? To the point of silly season, to me, silly season began back in February or March when the news about Legacy Motor Club wanting to buy one of Rick Ware's two charters came out, because Rick Ware's second charter is Ryan Preece's lease charter, RFK Racing, right now. Okay. And the one that they belong to, or that belongs to them, is Cody Ware. So we knew that Legacy was trying to shake things up. Jimmy Johnson, the same day of the Suarez news, said that there are two drivers he was interested in, that it was Jesse Love and Connor Zilich. Trackhouse had to make a move. This is my opinion, but it's based on just reading what other people are saying and things are moving. I believe Trackhouse had to make a move to get Zilich up quickly before somebody else got him. How did Jesse Love get to the Xfinity Series? He was a Toyota development driver. There was not room in the Joe Gibbs Racing Inn. Chevy got him. All right? So that these younger drivers that have some backing and have that momentum, the ball's in their court. Daniel Suarez, fortunately, unlike some other drivers we've seen lose rides, has a cadre of sponsors and is well-liked. So I do think that he will be in something next year, whether it's something really good part-time in Cup, which there are hardly any part-time Cup deals, or whether it's being Zilich's replacement in the Xfinity or something like that, which is not great for him, but that may be a better option than running 35th in Cup.
Yeah. Your thoughts?
That's the whole thing, that it, which ride a young driver ends up being contingent on the success that they end up having. You know, you could have the talents and you could get into a certain race car, but you see Connor Zilich's success he's having with Trackhouse. You see certain drivers get to certain teams, and I think it's going to be interesting down the road, and we see that with the current Cup Series. You know, we're talking all about guys who we don't know exactly where they're going immediately, but I'm seeing in the long term, not to throw, well, we've got Carson Hocevar and all the headlines he makes every single week, throughout the week, at the race, his aggressive racing, his personality. How is he not going to be somebody who's at a seemingly bigger race team than Spire one day? Yep. And so it's stuff like that that's interesting to think about with all these guys right now.
When we come back, we're going to talk about the in-season challenge. You think your bracket's bad? It could be worse. You could be Larry Mack and Jeff Burton on the separate podcast, or the separate broadcast, that talks just about that. Stay with us.
This is Kyle Petty for Echo Park Automotive. As you might imagine, I know a thing or two about cars, and I'm here to tell you about a whole new way to buy a car, truck, or SUV. Did you know that Echo Park Automotive has over 95,000 five-star reviews? On top of that, every car that Echo Park Automotive sells goes through a 190-point inspection to make sure that it looks and drives like new, so you leave happy. It's even in their name, Echo Park Automotive. Every car, happy owner. The official used car dealer of Speedway Motorsports.
Make your plans now to stay at the South Point Hotel Casino and Spa when NASCAR returns to Las Vegas. They have great race ticket and room packages for you to choose from. The South Point also features a wide variety of excellent dining options at 11 different restaurants. Or you can enjoy the 16-screen movie complex and visit the 64-lane bowling center. Visit southpointcasino.com and make your reservations today. Stay where the racers stay at the South Point Hotel Casino and Spa.
Lenny Baticki brings you PRN at the Track every week here on PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
Whether it's skating around the racetrack on a set of rollerblades or turning laps in a Legends car, join JC Fickinger on JC's Garage.
All it takes is one win, and that one win can completely clear the driver's mind. I could even see it happening if Todd Gilliland wins a race, or Noah Gregson wins a race, Zane Smith wins a race. These guys are guys who are just searching for one win, one chance.
JC's Garage, wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Hey, it's Charlie and Debbie, along with NASCAR legend Kyle Petty, inviting you to join us for Kyle Petty's Back Then Again Country Countdown.
Each week, we'll put it in reverse and take a trip down memory lane, looking back at that week's top 20 country songs from years past.
We'll dive into what made those songs and artists move the needle, what pop culture trends made those years unique.
And you'll get to hear me tell stories only I can tell.
So don't miss Kyle Petty's Back Then Again Country Countdown right here each week.
Brett McMillan returns with more of the Pit Reporters here on the Performance Racing Network.
And hey, welcome back, along with Shane Connick from the Charlotte Observer and Doug Turnbull from PRN and the Five to Go podcast. Brett McMillan, glad to have you with us. All right. Here's my conspiracy theory. Black helicopters, grassy knoll. You know, NASCAR was going to give $1 million to a fan who got their bracket absolutely right. They arranged for the big wreck to take out all those cars so nobody would get their bracket right. And through 1 week, Shane, nobody has a bracket that's correct. So they don't have to give away $1 million. It's all a conspiracy.
Yeah, and you have this bracket, you have this novel concept, and that's what it is. You know, it's not just in March Madness where people fill out brackets. It's in any sports playoffs where people can fill out a bracket. And at the end of the day, people can fill out who they think is going to make it through the NASCAR Cup Series playoffs every year. And that's something that the sport promotes as well, with the whole idea of the rounds and having drivers get eliminated and who's going to make it. And so this gives you that one team versus another team excitement, frankly, for whether you think that's excitement in a positive way or not. And it allows for... Again, it was just, it creates more action going on in these races over this portion of the season during the summer when you have Major League Baseball going on. Almost everything else is in its off season. On the weekends, NASCAR is happening, but throughout the week, you're talking about it because it's building up to the action that's going to take place in the Cup Series race on Sunday. And now that action is just, no matter how you feel about it, there is more action, there are more storylines, and this in-season challenge, it's going to take some feeling out like anything else, but overall, it's bringing some more to think about with these couple of races at this point in the season.
Doug, you were down in Atlanta as I was last weekend, and to no surprise for me, the drivers weren't really interested in talking about it. They really didn't care. Their attitude was, if I win, I move on. So big deal. I think they'll care when they get down to the final four. And at this point, the fans may be interested. And I think that because so many of the big names got eliminated, that in fact, you may get more buy-in from the drivers now. Because the guys who are left, it's going to mean more to them if they are competing for the $1 million, are getting more attention out of this. So this may, in fact, work to the advantage of the in-season challenge.
All right, so first off, we dangle $1 million like we do at the All-Star race. I had an interview with Ross Chastain before Atlanta, And I asked him on the record, and by the way, props to Ross for spending like 6 hours with us in the booth during the Xfinity race and all the weather delays on Friday night. He was incredible in that. But he dodged the question basically because I asked him, hey, does this mean a little more for you? Like, how does that work? Or does the team get most of it? And he just goes, I leave that up to my management team. And I heard someone else rumble about how the drivers are not as enthused about the money part because however it falls, they're not getting as much of it as they think. But big surprise, no one thinks they're getting enough money. Now, as to the tournament, when it's 16 different matchups like it was at Echo Park Speedway, that's just tough to follow anyway. Kind of like having 16 drivers in the playoffs, but that's a different story. Now, I like the playoffs. But now that we're down to 8 matchups for Chicago and then 4 matchups when we go ahead of that, I believe, to Sonoma and with another PRN race, then it gets more real. It's easier and it's more tangible. Also, they're not pack races. There are going to be times where these drivers could be following each other for a couple of laps or a whole run, even if you have trouble passing. So I think it's going to get more and more interesting going ahead. And while you, Brett, most of the heavy hitters you asked on pit road before the race and the pre-race show weren't so into the tournament, there were a couple of deals. And you were on the stage when they had the fake fight between Allmendinger and McDowell, who both crashed their cars in the race, and it was almost like a race to see, because McDowell was 2 laps down at one point, he got back on the lead lap, and then Allmendinger, I think, ended up winning the showdown. So there's some interesting stuff. What if Ty Dillon goes deep in this? He knocked off number one seed Denny Hamlin and said, I beat your favorite driver.
Yeah.
So I think that there's going to be little side stories, but it's not an overarching story, and that's okay. We need the small ones to make the big ones big.
Is this working, Shane? Is this accomplishing what NASCAR hoped by giving fans a little something to get excited about in the middle of the summer stretch?
Yes, it is, because even if they're not excited about it and they're vocal about how they are not happy about it, then that is just as well in a lot of ways. The idea is that if people are hanging out somewhere in America and it's July and someone's just drinking a beer, watching a game, and you've got a baseball game on, or you've got that on Sunday at this time, the NASCAR Cup Series race, you put it on TNT, you know where to find it, and then you have not just an interest in one of 36 guys who's going to win, but one guy beating somebody else is the concept that a lot of people look at sports. You have one team, you have another team. This brings that to NASCAR, whether every single person is so enthused about it or not. And the more people who have thoughts about it one way or the other, the better of an idea that it is for NASCAR itself.
There are a couple matchups that I'm intrigued at with Chicago this week. AJ Allmendinger and Ty Gibbs, Doug. Mm. Two guys that are, you know, Ty Gibbs is pretty good on road courses, and you know, we know AJ's good on road courses. I find that intriguing. I find Carson Hocevar and Tyler Reddick intriguing.
Mm.
There are a couple out there that I think are going to be interesting. And now that we're
Alex Bowman and Bubba Wallace, who have traded unpleasantries before on the Charlotte Roval, no less, and I think got into it at the Chicago race a year ago, if I'm not mistaken. Bowman won that. I do think it's not just the matchups too, but again, it's the idea that a driver that's not in the limelight potentially has a chance to go forward, particularly Ty Dillon that's left over, or John Hunter Nemechek goes against Chase Elliott. Hey, if Chase locks up his tires, hits a tire barrier, John Hunter Nemechek's advanced twice in this round. Hey, by the way, as for the question of people caring or not, I think it's going to be tough to measure because how many people filled out brackets online, I don't know, but only a million or so or a million plus watched the TNT race Saturday night, right? Also,
how many watched the Altcast? Was it divided? Was it separated out?
That's a great point. I don't know if that number was baked in, but they also released another number about how much social interaction the Bleacher Report, the other Max properties, if you will, put together. And we measure so many things in TV ratings, but the overall value on social media is what's going on here, the overall cultural value. And if it raises NASCAR being talked about in younger demos, even if they don't actually turn on the TV, that someone is considering that a win. I'm not saying it's a win myself, but someone is.
All right, when we come back, it is back to the streets of Chicago. Could this be the last time? Stay with us.
A consumer warning for men in our audience looking to buy generic versions of the blue or yellow pills online. Be very careful. Many of these products may be completely ineffective. Our research team has found versions of these blue and yellow pills for the remarkable price of about a dollar a pill. They have a success rate as high as 87% to help men with erection issues. And remember, with a price as low as a dollar, you'll get more bang for your buck. Call now and we can confidentially ship your order with no questions asked. Call now to learn how to get our versions of the blue or yellow pills for about a dollar a pill. Call now and ask for express shipping to get your package in days. 800-245-4816. 800-245-4816. 800-245-4816. That's 800-245-4816. Call Pharmacy Shop now.
Mark Garrow is your host for Garage Pass here on PRN, the Performance Racing Network.
On the inside, Byron in the middle, Chastain up high.
Hamlin now beginning to come to the front. He's got the edge now. He'll take the lead away.
Brian Blaney sliding down into the grass. There was a lot of bumping and grinding, and Blaney noses into the infield retaining wall.
Ross Chastain doing a great job. Truex right there, big in his mirror as they race down the backstretch here. Harrison Burton is spinning down the back straightaway. Everybody going to the top side. Here comes Kyle Larson. Larson dives to the bottom of the racetrack. He wants to lead all four.
Chris Buescher has the trouble. And a spin off of turn four.
Yeah, we've got a ton of cars that are in this one, and Larson is certainly one of those cars.
Trouble coming out of turn four. Hamlin is sideways. The car spins down on the apron of the racetrack.
Byron takes that brightly painted number 24 to the front. He gets a big shove from Daniel Suarez.
This is PRN.
Let's get back to more Pit Reporters on the Performance Racing Network.
And welcome back, along with Shane Connick from the Charlotte Observer and also Doug Turnbull from PRN and the Five to Go podcast. Brett McMillan, glad to have you with us. Third trip to the streets of Chicago this week, Shane. What do they need to do to get good weather for a change?
Well, I mean, no matter what, they can put a clock on the screen that's going to count down to when it gets to be about 8:20 and we got to finish the race by then.
Yeah, that's what we're all looking for. Oh, man. They just need a break, Shane. I mean, 2 years, horrible weather. They just need a break.
And it's a great concept to go to a city like that, that large of a market, and to just go on the streets and race there. It's a concept that is great for the sport, no matter where you end up doing it, and that's why Chicago, they've done it. We've done this a couple of times now. You know you have people in Chicago excited, and it's going to be great this weekend. They announced it today. Derrick Rose, legend from the Bulls, is going to be the Grand Marshal at the Chicago Street Race, and so it's a great concept, but I think it's time to take the street race to a different city to bring this sport to another market and to do it by just going on the streets and just bringing the sport downtown.
Well, I think, Doug, to Shane's point, you know, if Chicago was the proof of concept, the concept works.
No doubt, and I think it's believed to be a foregone conclusion that year three is it for Chicago. I love the idea of taking it different places. As you just said, if it stays in Chicago, I'm happy too. And honestly, I'm happy if it rains just a tiny bit, just give a little bit of sprinkle tires in that race. Of course, the rumor has been that San Diego may be next up. There's even been rumors about trying to race inside the University of Pennsylvania football stadium and all these other things like that. And we won't know until the schedule comes out, but I would hope that people consider the Chicago, if you want to call it experiment, the Chicago jaunt, if you will, a success. I think it has been a success. It's produced really good racing, and I think it's created an electricity there. I just wonder how much of that sticks. Remember when the Busch Clash unveiled in 2022, there were all these stats about all these different fans, and I just wonder now in 2025, and now that we've left the LA Coliseum and gone back to North Wilkesboro or gone to North Wilkesboro, how much of those new California fans stuck? I wonder how much of those new Illinois or younger fans stuck too, and do you just have to keep building that by redoing this race every 3 years or so?
Well, the interesting thing is, you know, you don't have to apparently abandon the Chicago market, because apparently Chicagoland Speedway is still there and still raceable. So you could actually go back to Joliet and see the Blues Brothers. Okay.
That's
a 50-year-old movie for those of you that aren't familiar with it.
Yeah.
But so we'll see. And the thing is, what we found out, though, is obviously, you know, that's the place that Shane Van Gisbergen first got on our radar. Last year, Alex Bowman was able to win. And, you know, and NASCAR has really firmed up this concept of, you know, how we're going to, when we're going to set deadlines on courses, you know, places without lights, or when we're going to put a deadline on a race. So we've done that now. And so now, Shane, we're going to see, you know, we've seen the same, for the most part, the same cast of characters. Guys who are good on road courses have been good on the street course.
And the more road courses you go to, the more we're going to continue to see that. And again, it does feel like just a completely different road course race when you go to a street race versus just a typical road course, right? I mean, obviously, it's road racing and all that stuff, but does it feel that much different? Do you guys think so when you get on a street course opposed to a typical road course?
Yeah. No, I completely do, Shane. I mean, that's it. I mean, it's the same set of skills to a fan like me watching, but I think the fans get closer. I think it's also in the middle of everyday life. So there's people that get a whiff of the race that maybe didn't buy tickets to get a chance to see it. And Shane Van Gisbergen, as he noted, you know, they've raced on a ton of street courses in Australia, and just the close quarters of the wall and it being wet in 2023 when he won that race just made something extra that other regular traditional road courses don't have. So I love the idea of taking the show somewhere else. I also love the idea of keeping the number of road courses, five or six races, whatever it is, at the same number. I don't think our series needs to become a total street racing situation, but I will say too, younger fans seem to be more attracted to that. So NASCAR has to find the balance.
Well, and I think it's the tighter corners. You know, I think you've got a lot more tighter corners, and it doesn't have the spread out feel that a road course has.
Yeah. Yeah.
Track limits is in the wall.
So, but I think when we're talking about the favorites this week, Shane, you got to look at the same cast of characters. I think you got to look at Van Gisbergen. I think you have to look at, you know, a guy like AJ Allmendinger, who people seem to have forgotten about as a great road course racer ever since Van Gisbergen came on the scene. You know, Alex Bowman won this thing last year. I think he's an understated, underappreciated road course racer. And Tyler Reddick, he's a guy that really needs a win right now.
He is. I mean, again, you have a driver who's able to rack up points when they do, but when you don't have that win, and Tyler Reddick this year, 23-11 cars, having the three teams, they all got speed. They all rack up points when they do, but Tyler Reddick has not been that previous regular season champion and championship contender this year. He's been the past couple.
Who are you looking at, Doug?
It's hard to bet against SVG. I think SVG and Ty Gibbs have it covered just because of what they did in Mexico City. And throw in a Tyler Reddick, too, who lately has been one of those to toast on road courses. Allmendinger, I think one of the reasons he's lost some of that luster, Brett and Shane, is because really since the Gen 7 car and the advent of SVG showing up in NASCAR, it's just like with Chase Elliott. Things kind of caught up to him. That is still his forte, and he's still really good at it. But now, instead of being one of one, he's like one of seven.
Yeah, it's come out, you know, and I think intrigued to see what Chase Elliott does. I mean, it's like we talked about earlier. You know, this has been, it's kind of his bugaboo ever since we went to this Gen 7 car. And now that he's got this win, you know, he can kind of relax. Not that he's had this monkey on his back, but now he can kind of relax and kind of go for it. And we're going to see if maybe he's got some of his mojo back on the street course, on the road courses. You know, we've got a couple of them back to back here. We do Chicago, then we go to Sonoma. And then a couple weeks after that, we're going to head over to Watkins Glen. So a lot of opportunity here for these guys who like to go left and right. So we'll find out how that all operates. All right, when we come back, time for our white flag laps. Stay with us.
This is Kyle Petty for Echo Park Automotive. As you might imagine, I know a thing or two about cars, and I'm here to tell you about a whole new way to buy a car, truck, or SUV. Did you know that Echo Park Automotive has over 95,000 five-star reviews? On top of that, every car that Echo Park Automotive sells
goes through a 190-point inspection to make sure that it looks and drives like new, so you leave happy. It's even in their name, Echo Park Automotive. Every car, happy owner. The official used car dealer of Speedway Motorsports.
Whether your engine runs daily or only when you need it, Z-Max Micro Lubricant is the force you need against carbon buildup that can damage your engine. Combustion causes carbon and other harmful deposits to build up in your engine, fuel system, and transmission. And carbon is like sandpaper rubbing against your engine's internal parts. You don't want that. You want Z-Max Micro Lubricant. It soaks into metal and keeps your vehicle running at peak performance. Find out more at ZMAX.com or visit us on Facebook and Twitter. Protect your engine to the max with Z-Max.
Doug Rice is your host for Fast Talk every week on PRN, the Performance Racing Network. A NASCAR memory with Doug Rice and Kyle Petty.
One of the most iconic moments in the history of the sport. Your dad and David Pearson racing for the win at Daytona 76.
I learned more from my dad in that moment than probably all the years of being his son before that. Ran that race, comes down to the last lap. Pearson passes Petty. Petty passes Pearson. My dad passes him going into turn three, sweeps up in front of him. They kind of cross over. They get together coming out of turn four. Even though they're running 180, 90, 200 miles an hour, it's the most slow motion wreck in the history of time. As you watch my dad spin and spin down into the grass, you watch Pearson's car with the front end just caved in, come to a stop. And we all leave pit road and run out to the grass. You can see it's myself, it's Barry Dodson, it's Wade Thornburg, it's Dale Inman. We run out and we push the car across the line. We didn't know that if you help the car across the line on the last lap, you're penalized the lap. So if you go back and look at that, my dad finished one lap down in the Daytona 500 that year.
We're back with more of the Pit Reporters on the Performance Racing Network.
And welcome back. It's time now for our White Flag Laps. And first up from PRN and the 5 to Go podcast, it's Mr. Loving Live Traffic from Atlanta, Doug Turnbull.
As honored to be there at 11 Live, just started that gig. Hey, I wanted to pass condolences on to someone that hasn't been on the NASCAR scene in a long time, but is key in NASCAR's history, and that is Larry McClure. He passed away several days ago at the age of 81 in Virginia, and that iconic Kodak number 4 car that was the same paint scheme for about 15 years in the NASCAR Cup Series, piloted by Ernie Irvin, who won a Daytona 500, by Sterling Marlin, who won two of them, and overall got 15 wins in that series. And just for a real short time there was really the toast of the field on super speedways, or restrictor plate tracks, as they used to be called. So condolences to Larry McClure and the McClure family, who also lost Larry's son Eric several years ago. So we're thinking about them.
And coming out of Abingdon, Virginia.
Yes.
Weren't in the Charlotte hub like everybody else was. They were doing it on their own. So, yeah, absolutely. Our best wishes to the family and our thoughts and prayers to them as well. Next up from the Charlotte Observer, Shane Connick.
The in-season challenge is a good idea. These next four races, it's exciting. There's action. And if you don't think there's action, you don't think it's exciting, why not? Well, there's something that's probably you're probably intrigued by. This in-season challenge, let's keep doing it. Let's enjoy it. And if certain things don't seem whatever, maybe someone else will be someone else's favorite driver.
All right. Thank you, Denny Hamlin. Or Ty Dillon, stealing it from Denny Hamlin. Hey, I think for my money right now, Atlanta produces some of, if not the best racing in NASCAR. What we saw at Echo Park Speedway last weekend was second to none. It was edge of your seat action. I was standing on pit road watching the big screen and couldn't turn away because it was fantastic. Watching guys dive in and out, lead changes coming from the back to the front. They could make moves all over the place. And the drivers had control more so than they do, I think, at a Daytona at a Talladega, where they get in a line and they really can't move and they really can't pass except when they get the whole line going. These guys were doing it as individuals. Will it stay that way? I don't know. Did it fact it help that it dropped about 15 to 20 degrees before the race started? Probably so. But right now, we are seeing some fantastic racing at a hybrid speedway that was the genius of Marcus Smith and the whole Smith family and the Speedway Motorsports family. Yes, I work for them, but at the same time, they took a chance and they tried it, and it is paying off in spades right now. And Atlanta, Echo Park Speedway, is back on the map as producing some of the best racing on the circuit. And boy, we can't wait till next spring when we get a chance to do it again. Doug, thanks a lot for being with us. Appreciate it. Shane, thank you for being with us. Enjoy the race at Chicago this week. Then it's off to Sonoma.
Join us again next week for the Pit Reporters on PRN, the Performance Racing Network.